FM 104.6, the heart of the island's community.
We've got Lisa Beeney in, and we are talking about, and this is the one that you don't want to miss, because everything in your house will have some kind of energy rating.
Yes.
And you're going to explain all of that, you know, what you should be looking at, because it's not just about plugging a hole and opening a window and making sure. There's so many other things that you need to be aware of. And if you've got something plugged in and you've got no idea what the rating is, there could be something that, you know, the ratings are really, really high, costing you lots of money, and all you've got to do is make a swap and change that amount of money that's going out of your bank account every week. So how do we do that? Come on, doctor.
Okay. Well, most modern appliances have a simple energy rating that goes from A to G. So A is for most efficient, and G is for least efficient. So the colour scale runs from green at the efficient end to red at the least efficient end. So it's quite easy to spot. So a key thing to mention is that the scale has changed.
Since 2007, my mum bought an air conditioning unit. I think it was rated A, and we all thought, great, but it's not. So when did it change?
It changed in 2021. So older labels used to have things like A+, A++, or A++++.
Right.
And they've gone back to a clearer scale of A to G. So an appliance that now has a C or D rating today may still be reasonably efficient. And that depends on the type of the product. And the new scale was deliberately made tougher to leave room for future improvements, because technology changes all the time and the efficiency of products is increasing. So they did that so that they don't have to change the scale again in the near future. So the energy labels help you compare appliances and choose models that use less energy and cost less to run. So you'll commonly see energy labels on things like fridge freezers, washing machines is a common one, tumble dryers, dishwashers, televisions and displays, and also lighting. And the exact information shown will depend on the appliance. So for example, a washing machine might show the energy use per 100 cycles and the water use, whereas a fridge freezer usually shows the annual energy use.
So what sort of should we be looking at there? I mean, a washing machine, a fridge freezer, everyone would have one of those. Majority of people would have one of those. So what are we looking at? Are they going to be A's, or are they going to be in the middle, or are they going to be G's?
That will vary considerably, and that's your starting point. So the letter rating is useful, but the most important number is often the kilowatt hours, or KWH figure. And that can either be found on the back of a label. So if you're in the store, you'll find you can flip the label over and there's a lot more information on it. If you're looking online, quite often you can click on the energy rating and it will bring up a whole additional page of information. And it's this KWH, or kilowatt hour figure, that is a really important one. So on the label, look for the energy rating first. So A is best, G is worst. Then the actual kilowatt hour figure, because that tells you how much energy that appliance is actually going to use. Look at the size or capacity. For a larger fridge, a TV, a washing machine or tumble dryer, a bigger one is going to use more energy, even if it's got the same rating. So you could have a great big enormous double fridge, or a little undercounter fridge. They may both have the same rating, but the great big one is going to use far more energy, which is why flipping the label over and looking at this kilowatt hour figure is really important.
You made it so simple that even I understood that.
And
that's great. Even on a day like today where it's quite hot in a studio, I've understood that. So that makes perfect sense.
Another important thing to check for washing machines and dishwashers is the water use, and that will vary again between appliances, because we pay for energy, we pay for water. And with washing machines and dishwashers, they have to heat that water up. So if it's using more water, it's going to take more energy to heat it up. So that's another way that you can look at saving money on the running costs.
And it is really worth doing. And it's just like when you go shopping for food, you're looking at there's a traffic light system, isn't there?
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you've got allergies and things like that, you're going to take the time and the trouble to have a little read whether it's got what in and so on, whether it's healthy and so on. So it's really worth doing this because you could save yourself an awful lot of money or you could lose yourself an awful lot of money.
You could do. I mean, the other thing to think about is the noise level. And again, that varies. But the noise level will also be shown on the energy rating information.
Right, okay.
And when you think about noise, noise is energy. So if you've got something that's very noisy, that's energy that's going out of that appliance that's not being used for the purpose it should be. So if you take a fridge, you want all of your energy to go into keeping everything cool. You don't want a large proportion of that coming out as noise.
Right.
So a quieter appliance will normally be more efficient at keeping things cool.
How many people do you reckon just look at that, whatever it is, oh, it's an E, and they don't look or turn over or just look beyond that? They just think, oh, it's rated E and that's it.
I think most people, to be fair, because it's a quick, easy method of comparing. And to be I think I used to do the same. And it's only as I've learnt more about energy have I become far more interested in it and looking at the actual running costs. So if we look at two fridge freezers that are both C rated,
yeah.
One uses 180 kilowatt hours a year and one uses 220 kilowatt hours a year. So appliance one uses 40 kilowatt hours a year less electricity. And if you want to know how much that will cost you, you multiply the difference by your electricity unit rate. So to keep maths simple, because it's a hot day, and my mental maths isn't brilliant. If you're paying 25p a unit for your electricity, 40 kilowatt hours equates to £10 a year. So that might not sound huge, if you expand that out over 10 years, that's £100. If your fridge freezer lasts 20 years and electricity prices don't go up at all over that time, that's £200 you've saved yourself.
Right.
So all of these little savings add up and become bigger savings.
Okay, that sounds interesting. That's fascinating. But you said prices, if they don't go up, but we all know that they're going to. So, fat chance of that at the moment. But you never know. You never know. I've got lots of questions. Do you want to crack on, or do you want to answer a few?
No, we'll answer a few questions.
Okay, then. So we've probably all got loads of different things that's plugged into our house these days.
Yeah.
And just so that people can have, I don't know, peace of mind when it comes to certain things. If you're charging your phone.
Yep.
Okay, if you're charging your phone, are there certain charges that, because do they carry a rating? Does everything have to carry that rating between A and G?
No, not everything does. And when you come onto phone chargers, it's not necessarily the charger, but it's the phone. You just want it to fill up your battery. So if you think of electricity like water and a battery like a bucket,
the
battery in your phone is relatively small, so that's a relatively little bucket that you're filling with water. And the amount of water that you use will be the same because you want to charge your phone up. So there's not a lot in the way of energy savings to make with that, apart from making sure that you switch the charger off at the wall when you're not using it.
Yeah.
Because if you touch those chargers, quite often they'll feel warm. And that is energy that, again, is being transferred and going out as heat that you're paying for.
So that's one bit of good advice. Make sure that you switch it off after it's charged. And I suppose there is a specific time that you could charge to save what little bit you might be able to save if you're doing it overnight.
Yes, if you have something called a time of use tariff. So that could be economy 7 if you have things like night storage heaters at home. plugging your phone in and charging it overnight means that you're using that cheaper electricity.
Okay, what about things that you know, we probably have nowadays? I know we touched on this off air, vacuum cleaners. You know, you've got the wired ones, you've got the battery ones.
Yes, they will vary in their energy use. They will have energy ratings attached to them. So again, look at how much energy that's going to use. What I'd say with those, if you've got a battery one and you can charge it overnight, if you're on a time of use tariff, that way it's going to cost you less. If you've got solar panels, charge it during the day on a sunny day. There's lots of little things that you can do that can save you money. With most appliances, things like TVs, DVD players, computers, turn them off at the wall overnight, because some of these do drain energy, especially smart TVs now, because not only is it a TV, quite often it's connecting to your internet and it's sending and receiving internet traffic all the time, keeping your program guide up to date. If you not only should turn it off at night, but turn it off at the wall, it stops all of that background kind of chatter and energy use going on.
See, that's interesting. That's fascinating, because that is like a little network, isn't it? Because if you've got a computer that's on overnight, is it easier to, you know, cheaper to leave it on overnight or reboot it again the next morning? Do they use a lot of power? Your televisions, a lot of these smart TVs, they say don't unplug it because you've got to leave it because it's updating all the time. If you turn it off and turn it on overnight, have you saved anything or lost anything? Does it lose more power by switching it on the next morning, because then it's got to go through the reboot and loads of other things as well? Which is the cheaper way? What's the advice there?
I'd switch everything off at the mains overnight.
Like we used to.
When you think about it, when you go to turn your TV on, we're all used to things taking a moment or two to start up. And then if it's got updates to do, it will do that in the background as you're watching TV. And leaving it on overnight, yes, it does mean it's all updated, but it's sitting there all night using power when you're not using it.
See, I think you're right. And I think it's a mindset for us all, because we're told don't unplug it. And I'll say why. What's interesting is what you said about the switching things off and you know, your television, your internet and that kind of stuff. How many times have we all got up the next day and our phone's lost 10% of charge? Why is that? It's not done anything. It's not, the screen isn't on and so on. Why is, because it's talking, it's receiving, it's doing, it's, and if that's doing it on your iPhone, it's doing it on your iPad, it's doing it on your computer, and it's doing it on your TV as well, and you're burning electric.
Yeah.
So if you were to turn it off, iPads as well, it wouldn't use so much power, and you wouldn't need to have to charge it so often.
Yep.
So there's a lot of sense in that.
There's a lot of stuff, and more things are now becoming internet connected. And you can buy a washing machine and a tumble dryer that connect to your internet, so you can control it from an app on your phone. Unfortunately, it doesn't load and unload it. It doesn't fold everything up for you. But you can choose what program you want from your phone. I think some of this is going a bit over the top now for everything being internet connected.
See, I'm very cynical. I said, like, when they first brought out these new TV rules, that they were knocking off the analog television, because it's all stemmed from that. You would have, before then, you would have turned off everything and gone to bed. Nowadays, you've got the smart TV, and I reckon they said that we're going to turn off the analog TV, and people then rubbed their hands together and thought, right, the TV companies, the people that make the televisions, are going to be making lots of money. The people that are making the boxes that go or plug into, they're going to be making lots of money as well. And by the way, we're roping the energy companies, because you've got to leave it plugged in and leave it so it's energized through the night. Someone's making loads of money out of us. That's a cynical approach, I know, but I reckon it all stems from about 12 years ago when they'd said we'll turn off the analog, and somebody since then is making, you're not making any comment.
No, I mean, when you look at all of this and everything that is advertised, I think you need to look at who is saying what to you and why.
Yeah.
And how do they earn their money?
Yeah, follow the money.
Yeah.
Follow the money. So you're not saying I'm wrong then?
Has anyone ever said you're wrong?
Well, yeah, a number of times. Oh. loads of other things to discuss. I've changed PC monitors. I sort of had you sat on my shoulder, sort of. You weren't there, but I, you know, what would you do? Check this, check that. And I did. And I couldn't find one monitor that was on the market that was like A, B, C or a D. No, I tell a lie, there might have been a D, because I ended up buying a D, I think, a D or an E.
Yep.
But I looked at one and I was horrified, it was a G.
Yeah.
And then I looked at another one, it was the next one below G, and I thought, we've got to try and get the lowest. I couldn't find any A, B or C's.
No, they may not exist yet. I mean, this is the whole reason behind this new rating system, is that, yes, TVs, computer monitors, they won't have a brilliant energy rating, partly because you're using a lot of energy to display what's on the screen all the time. So you're going to use it a lot. So you did the right thing by looking and finding the best energy rating that you can. The next thing to do is to turn that label over and look at the kilowatt hours on it.
Right.
So if you've got two that are D-rated, you can see which one of those two is actually going to be better.
Okay. That's good. That's, I should have took it one step further and had a little look. I just looked at, and like we alluded to earlier on, there's too many people that will just look and say, right, A, B, C, that's all right, we'll have that.
Yeah.
And
that's a really good starting point, though. But with the kilowatt hours number, the lower, the better.
Yeah.
So if you're looking at two, and one's 180, one's 220, the 181 will be cheaper to run.
Okay. I mean, lots of things that we have got around the house at the moment that we probably wouldn't have done at, you know, 35 years ago, that we've just suddenly, oh, we've got to have one, we've got to do that. Just take for instance the internet box that we would have, the router that we had, you know, how much power does that come with? You don't get a choice in some instances, because if it's a company like BT, they will give you a box.
Yep.
And you're lumbered with that box because nothing else will work. So do they have to supply you with something that is the best when it comes down to energy efficiency?
No, they don't.
Should they?
In an ideal world, yes. But we don't live in an ideal world. And what might be most energy efficient may not be the best for their network. So with routers especially, it's making sure it's going to be as secure as possible so that you can plug it in at home and know that your home isn't going to be vulnerable to internet hacks and things. And we all want that. We all want that level of security and comfort. In general, your internet router isn't going to be the most power-hungry thing in your home. So that's one of the things to worry less about.
Okay, I will.
If you look at the label on it, it will still have an energy consumption. It will either have it in watts or kilowatts. And again, the lower the better.
Okay, look, everyone's worried about the weather at the moment, and in the next week or so we're going to have another heat wave, so they say. So you know, fans and air conditioning units and things that are generally going to be plugged in and left on all night, what should we be aware of?
First of all, look at the unit and look at the power consumption of it, and it will say somewhere on there, most probably in really tiny print that's really difficult to read. If that's the case, take a photo of it on your phone and then you can zoom in and it makes it a lot easier. But the lower the power figure on there, the better. Other things to think about: if you have an old one you've hauled out of the garage, check the plug and the cable and make sure they're in good condition, because damaged electronics have a higher likelihood of something going wrong and potentially causing a fire. Do you actually need it is the other thing to think about. So are there other things that you can do at home to cool your house down without needing to plug in an air conditioning unit. So if you have good insulation, if you have good loft insulation, that helps keep the heat out in the summer, as well as keeping your house warm in the winter. You'll find a lot of the heat will come through your windows. So if it's warmer outside than inside, keep the windows shut and your curtains and blinds closed. And that stops that heat coming in. I don't know if you notice in Mediterranean areas, they will have outside shutters on the windows. And that's to keep the heat out before it even gets to your window. So for longer term solutions, perhaps look at having shutters fitted that can be closed to keep the heat out. So the hottest part of the day, believe it or not, keep everything closed. And then as it starts to cool down, you want to create a breeze through the property. So it's no good just opening one window. You need to have windows open on the opposite sides of the house with the internal doors open to let that air flow through.
Okay, look, I know we had to talk about this off air, and I know this is quite a I think, you know, the decision will be ours, but I want the advice from you as well, if that's okay. We talked about, we had a conservatory built a couple of years ago. We noticed the heat that we get from it is incredible, especially on days when it's excessively hot. It could be deemed a fire hazard, could be. In the winter, it acts as you get sun coming in on a really cold day, but it warms up one side of the house, which is nice.
Yep.
So what we're in the process of doing and getting is putting some proper film on the glass to stop the heating getting excessive. But then will that reduce the heat that we're going to, you know, get from that in the winter?
In theory, no. In practice, I'm not sure. There's a new development coming out, which is something you can paint on the insides of your windows. And as it heats up outside, this actually turns white and then will reflect all of the heat out, or not all, but most of the heat out. And then during the winter, when it's cooler and you've got less heat from outside and the sun's not so strong, it remains clear and lets that heat in. So right. There's lots of new technologies around. The other thing to think about is white blinds, so that reflects the heat out again, that you can just drop during the day.
Yeah, that makes sense. White blinds, don't have black ones.
Not black blinds. No. White blinds.
Black blinds in the winter, in the winter, maybe, because that would warm it up. And white blinds in the summer, if you're wealthy enough.
Yes.
Because they're not cheap, are they?
No, nothing like that is cheap. Okay. If you look at motorhomes, when you've got your motorhome windscreen covers, lots of those can be reflective on one side. And that reflects the heat out to help keep them cool on the inside.
Okay, fascinating. We will know, the next time you come in, we will know whether or not all the stuff that we've put in place will work during the heat wave, because we've got one next week and possibly another one, they say, the week after that. But we'll see. Thank you so much for coming in. And next time you come in, we're going to talk about, or possibly next time you come in, we're going to talk about dispelling some of those myths with electric cars and how long the charging actually lasts. That would be really good to do. If people want any advice from you on anything that we've discussed and anything that we've discussed in the past, how do they get hold of you?
They can very simply email us at info@greeniow.org.uk or phone on 01983 668 900.